My name is John, and this is my good buddy Andy, and you're listening to the Packers Blitz podcast, the podcast done by two diehard Packer fans who survived the dark times of the 1980s Packers football and lived to talk about it. Packers Blitz is dedicated to the greatest fans in the NFL, Packer fans. Andy, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. You know, the Wisconsin weather, just never know what you're going to get, right?
Never know
what you're going to get. Yeah, it's just like a box of chocolates.
You
know, one week, I'm wearing, not to get too personal, but wearing Long John's thermal undies. Ooh, the last few weeks.
Sexy.
And, you know, now I'm wearing shorts, you know, with my Armachillo underwear underneath from Duluth Trading Company. Ooh. Maybe they'll start to sponsor our podcast, John. You know, shout out to Duluth Trading.
You could be their model.
Excellent underwear. So
you can be their model. So 24 NFL draft is what, Andy?
10 days away, John.
10 days away.
So John and I will predict the Packers selections in rounds 3 and 4. Try to. In addition, we'll discuss some Packers news, which we will do right now. Right, John?
Right now. Do, 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 do. Go ahead.
So, John, you'll start off with the first one here.
Okay. So, very interesting. The Packers are playing internationally again, which is a shock to me that this happened, but it's super cool. Just a few years after playing the New York Giants in London, which should have won that game, by the way. London, England. Green Bay will play its season opener against the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, in São Paulo, Brazil, on Friday. Yes, Friday, people, which is ridiculous. Now I got to take off of work. September 6th. Yep. The game will take place at Corinthians Arena, the home of the Brazilian soccer team, the Corinthians. Rich Corinthian leather.
Ricardo
Montalban. You got to be old school to remember that. Ricardo Montalban talking about a Lincoln Mercury. Yeah, so you got to be old school. If you remember that, kudos. By the way, the stadium is awesome. The venue was used at the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics. According, yes, Mark Murphy's back.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Mark Murphy in a long time. He's back. And by the way, go back to some of our episodes and go check out. We talked about an email a fan sent to him that Andy had a big stink about because he's reading these emails why he should be running the Packers and talking about this one fan who was like, when are you going to leave? Basically, the email is, when are you going to leave? You suck. You brought us a Super Bowl. Get out of here. Anyway, go and find that email or go back to, I think, a few episodes ago and listen to it. Okay, so good old Mark Murphy, and I quote, "We're looking forward to being a part of this historic matchup. We're excited to play in front of our devoted fans in Brazil. Yes, Brazil loves the Packers. South America goes nuts for the Packers. It's bizarre. Really? It's absolutely bizarre. I mean, the two teams that South America loves are our Packers, and believe it or not, the Cowboys. But, you know, that's kind of a given, you know, because Cowboy fans are everywhere. They're like cockroaches. I didn't say that.
I think you just did, John, but okay.
Oh, damn it. Came out.
Too late.
Damn, I gotta hit the mute button. Anyway, popularity of the NFL and the Packers. Well, Brazil will help build upon the international popularity of the NFL and the Packers, end quote. This is the first ever NFL regular season game in Brazil. It will also mark the first time since 1970 that NFL has played on a Friday night game, a season opening weekend. Andy, I think you were 2 years old at that time.
That is correct.
1970?
That's correct, John. I was alive, but only 2 years old.
You were only two. Yep. You were
born in 68.
And like I said, go online and check out the stadium. It is nuts. It is. I can't believe that, you know, nothing against the Brazilian people or anything like that. They're great people. We love you. But this is better than like a lot of our stadiums, like a lot better.
It's probably huge too, John, if they're hosting the World Cup there with the Olympics. It's gonna,
Over 100,000 people can fit in this stadium.
Makes sense.
It's nuts. It's nuts. Go online, take a look at it, do yourself a favor, and you're like, damn, that is going to be crazy. I mean, it's going to be crazy loud and everything. Hopefully we won't get freaking Buck and Aikman or whoever the hell's doing the game. Or worse, Collinsworth. Somebody kill me now if we get Collinsworth on this game. Or Tom Brady, you know, next year is going to be starting to do games. Yes, Tom Brady will be
broadcasting NFL games. Don't quote me on this, John. I really didn't want to talk about it because I don't have specifics on it, but I think it's going to be on Peacock. So whoever that would be, I don't know who the broadcaster would be for that. We'll get everybody more information as we get closer to it.
Yeah,
it might be a little bit difficult for certain people to get the game. Unfortunately, the way it sounds, because I think they have exclusive rights to it. So I think some of the local broadcasts back at home shouldn't be affected. But even me, you know, I live in Madison, you know, Milwaukee probably won't be affected. Green Bay definitely won't be affected, but it's a possibility. Even Madison might not get the game. That's because I had problems seeing the Giants game. That one year in London, I wasn't able to watch it actually. So I saw bits and pieces of it afterward and was listening to it on the radio, but it's not the same thing. So from that standpoint, it kind of sucked going international when you can't even watch your own team play. So hopefully it's not that bad. That's why I held off saying anything.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But we do actually benefit, John. How do the Packers benefit?
Yeah, because it counts as an away game for them. Okay. Yeah. So the Packers still have 9 home games in friendly confines of Lambeau Field. According to, our favorite guy again, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, the Eagles will be home team for the game. Yeah. Andy, any other further?
I mean, this is where it's trending, right, John? You know, the whole international, trying to get the world to start watching professional football.
Correct.
And this is just another step in that direction. So eventually you're going to see games probably all over the world. So you've seen some games in England. Mm-hmm. You've seen some a game in Germany, I think it was last. Mexico. Right.
Yep.
So again, this is just another step towards, you know, that world domination by the NFL. And National Football League, absolutely. Right? So they're trying to, they want to make more money. And so that's what it comes down to.
By the way, really, really quickly, I used to work with a coworker of mine, and he was from the UK, and he hated American football, absolutely hated it. Cause he kept on, he would say to me, like, I don't get it. And I'm like, well, what don't you understand? He goes, well, these guys run a little bit and then they fall down and then they run a little bit and then they fall down. And I'm like, no, they're tackling. They're being tackled. And he's like, no, that's not the way you tackle. Cause he's used to soccer and everybody's sliding into each other, and whatever. Yeah. I'm like, and the huge field in soccer. He goes, why is it such a small field? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's what they came up with. And he goes, well, and then why don't they like kick more? And I was, well, they don't kick more because that'd be soccer. And he's like, well, I don't know. I just don't like it. And I couldn't convince the guy at all. I showed him games during lunchtime. Oh, look at this. There's a guy named Barry Sanders. Look at that. And the guy just went, oh, okay. Like I would show him like Walter Payton, like highlights and Barry Sanders highlights and stuff. And he'd be like, yeah, okay. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
So we'll see. So what do you got next? That's very, very
interesting, John. According to Brian T. Smith of TalkSport.com, and this is what he has to say. J.J. Watt loved Houston, But there was one NFL team with a devoted small market fan base that would have been really cool to play for, end quote. John, Packers Blitz fans, which totally awesome NFL football team was that? Do you know?
Your Green That's Bay right. Packers?
That's right. The former three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 2012, 2014, and 2015 recently appeared on the Stick to Football podcast and said this about the storied franchise. And this is what he said. I grew up in Wisconsin and I grew up in Green Bay. The Packers, they have a little bit of a different relationship with their fans, end quote. And he's right. The connection between the Packers and their fans is awesome, isn't it, John? So, so John, definitely. Packers fans, it's too bad that J.J. Watt never played for his favorite team any of his 12 seasons in the NFL. So, John, any comment on that?
No, it would have been nice. And I knew when he was a free agent before he went to
Arizona,
which was weird. And I saw Hard Knocks. I watch all the Hard Knocks. He was on the mid-season one. And he's still a good player, but he was just a shell of his former self. He just could not get to the quarterback because he had like knee problems and shoulder problems and back problems.
Elbow problems. You know,
just elbow. And and you just can't do that. Unfortunately, a lot of players play through it and, you know, kind of pay for it later. But yeah, you're still a hell of a player.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So next, here's some really fun news that I think I just can't wait to see what they're going to do for this guy, because this is crazy. Gordon Batty, equipment manager for your Green Bay Packers, is retiring. Red, as he's often called, has been a staple of the Green Bay Packer locker room for 30 years. So, you know, he was through the dark times and the great times and the good times and the he meticulously handled all aspects of equipment, uniforms, and practice gear. Gordon Red Batty said his role relies on three crucial elements: good communication, excellent organization, and always thinking ahead. His significant contributions were often unseen. However, they will not be forgotten. We adhere to Packers Bliss, which is him and his family very best in the future. Yes, that is awesome. Wow. Just imagine what that guy had to go through and do for equipment and all these things, you know, traveling on the road, because they do take the equipment managers on the road with them because they need them. So this guy probably saw these great places, saw great games, saw, you know, I don't know if he saw them. He might have been busy, but at least, you know, he's in the locker room after a big win or whatever, you know, enjoying the Super Bowl. Two Super Bowls he would have enjoyed victory. So that's nice.
Yeah, he was around for most of the success that we had, right? So he would have been there during Favre and Rodgers' tenure, right? But he overall, I think he had 43 years in the league. Congratulations to him. Wow. So, and thank you.
Yes, congratulations. So let's go to the Packers Blitz draft for rounds 3 and 4.
Yep.
So Andy, you want to take the first one?
Yeah. So we got picks 88 and 91 in the third round. So John and I will be making a couple picks in the third round. And then we'll move on to the fourth round, which is pick 126 for the Pack as of now. So in round 3, I've got a list of players that are expected to be around and available for the Packers when they pick. So, and then out of that group of players, I'm going to pick a couple of them that I think we might take. So the first one was running back Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. He's stylistically compared to Amon Green, the Packers' all-time rushing leader with 8,322 yards rushing. Amon had two stints with the Packers from 2000 to 2006 and in 2009. If not for an ACL tear in November, Jonathan Brooks could have been the clear RB1 in this draft class. According to A to Z Sports's Travis May, this is what Travis has to say, he could have reached nearly 2,000 yards from scrimmage had he stayed healthy last fall, end quote. Although the injury situation is a concern, the Packers have flexibility and time to wait. Basically, with Josh Jacobs, Dillon, and Wilson in 2024, Brooks could redshirt the season to recover and learn the system. So that's one potential guy we might take in the third round. Another running back they mentioned was Trey Benson out of Florida State, John. He could be an ideal complement to Josh Jacobs. His 51% forced missed tackles rate in 2022 set PFF's, that's Pro Football Focus, PFF's single season record since they started to track the statistic in, if I can speak, in 2014. So 51% forced missed tackle rate, John. That's really high.
Wow.
Benson is adept at wrapping up drives with 23 rushing touchdowns since 2022, which was ninth most in college football. He did have a brutal knee injury, though, in 2020, so he will have to pass his medical evaluation. But he breaks tackles, John, and he's a big enough runner that he can score touchdowns and get first downs for us. So anyway, that was another guy that they had mentioned was Trey Benson out of Florida State. The third running back that they mentioned was Braylon Allen, and I've heard his name a lot. He's from the University of Wisconsin, of course. He's a massive runner, massive at 6 foot 1 inches tall and 235 pounds. When he gets drafted in April, and he will get drafted, he will be just 20 years old as an NFL rookie. So he's going to be awful young. Allen was the most one of the most productive runners in college football the past 3 years. He was a model of consistency, averaging around 1,000 to about 1,200 yards rushing and about 12 touchdowns. Because of his strength and size, he's a good pass blocker too. However, he is not a very dynamic runner or a receiving threat. Very interesting, though. In high school, Allen also played some safety and was projected by some as a linebacker because of his frame. So that's kind of interesting because we're in the need of both a safety and a linebacker. So I thought I'd bring it up, John. So So now we're going to move to some of the linemen that they're expecting us to maybe take in the third round. And one of those is also from Wisconsin, John, center Tanner Bortolini. He played primarily both center and guard positions. However, at Wisconsin, he took reps at all five line spots and even some as an extra tight end on jumbo packages. At the NFL Combine, Bortolini had an all-time great showing of athleticism. He was in the 99th percentile compared to many NFL interior line, offensive line starters in the league. So very, very highly rated in athleticism, which the Packers tend to covet in their offensive linemen. Right, John? And then another offensive lineman that they're saying that we may take is guard Christian Mahogany. Yes, like the wood, from Boston College. He has showcased sturdiness at the point of attack. He can provide nice depth for Green Bay right away. If the Pack drafts Mahogany in the third round, he will forever remind me of the hilarious Ron Burgundy quote from the legendary Will Ferrell movie. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany, end quote. And that's from Ron Burgundy. So I hope we just draft them just because of that, John, because that's going to remind me of that every single time. Great, great movie. So, another lineman that they were expecting us to maybe take was guard Cooper Beebe from Kansas State. Now, I talked about him last episode in episode 68 as a possibility in the late second round. But there's other people like Thomas Schumacher of WSAU Radio in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He thinks that he will fall to the Packers in round three. So he picked Cooper Beebe to fall that far. Still, other so-called experts have him falling to the fourth round. So I've seen him picked by the Packers in three different rounds, second round, third round, and fourth round.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, John. So he's falling in those ranges. Beebe had a dominant 2023 season with the Wildcats, giving up no hits on the quarterback, zero, and just one sack.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I guess would be kind of a hit, but you know what I'm saying. You know, so he had to give up the one sack, no quarterback hits. The Packers lost veteran John Runyon Jr. in free agency and could use a long-term replacement. Holdover guard Sean Ryan ain't it. So there's a possibility, John, we may, you know, draft him, I guess, possibly in the second, third, or fourth rounds. But who knows?
There we go.
And then the last one I want to talk about is safety Cameron Kitchens from Miami. He is an athletic player who can stop the run and help cover the middle of the field. However, Kitchens does come with some concerns, such as speed, as he only had a 4.65 40-yard dash at the combine and struggling in pass protection, giving up a 115.9 passer rating when targeted.
Yikes!
Safety depth on the Packers roster is a major concern, so the Packers may just take him based on his potential to grow into the position. However, John, I think I've seen him going about 20 picks earlier to a different team. So I don't think he's going to be there. Yeah. I don't think that's big of a big deal. Anyway, we're going to talk about this later in the podcast, but the Packers typically do not draft a defensive back, even a safety that's that slow. So 4.65 in the 40-yard dash ain't going to cut it. So I really don't think they're going to draft him based on that. The passer rating wasn't that great either, John. That's a pretty high passer rating of completions when targeted. So maybe he's a guy that they would move to linebacker or something. I don't know his exact size, but they were mentioning him going to the Packers in the third round, and I don't see that happening either. But anyway, so any comments on any of those guys before I make my picks?
No. Nope. Okay. Nope.
Go ahead. So, since the selection of Packers Hall of Fame tackle Mark Tarsher in the seventh round of the 2000 NFL draft, how often do the Packers draft someone from the in-state Wisconsin Badgers football program? The answer to that, people, is not very often. So, with the 88th and 91st picks in the third round, the Green Bay Packers select guard Cooper Beebe from Kansas State with the first one, which I believe is number, 81? Oh, sorry, 88. And then, which is our pick.
88.
And then the pick 91, I believe that's Buffalo's, isn't it? Yep.
Yeah.
And so with the second pick in the third round, we're going to take a flyer, actually, on running back Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. He's the one that tore his ACL, but they expected him to be, he could have been RB1, but he's not going to be RB1 because of the injury. So in countless mock drafts, the pundits have the Packers selecting Beebe anywhere from the late second round to late fourth round. I'm predicting him to go late third and splitting the difference, so to speak. The Packers will miss out on safety Cameron Kitchens. Again, he's supposed to get selected about 20 spots before. The Packers are unwilling to move up for him. Plus, they've already gotten a better safety by then, probably in the second round, right, John? So I don't expect them to be drafting, you know, one in the third round. So those are my selections, John. I'm not sure who you have going with the 88th pick and the 91st, but that's who I've got.
Yeah. So those are nice selections. And like I said, Andy and I have not showed picks at all. This is totally going to be a surprise with Andy. Yep. So I love your picks. I love them. The Cooper BB pick is straight on, makes sense. Makes total sense in the third round. But as you know, I like to throw you curveballs. So one of the things I think the Packers could do, I don't think they will do this because this is a high pick for them, but I'm going to give you three players and then I'll pick the two who we're going to okay. do. But pretty much what you said is I agree with. I mean, there's some guys in there, you know, I'm kind of like, sure, I could see that. But here's, remember I did last episode, I threw a little curveball at you here. There is a guy, he's a linebacker out of North Carolina, Cedric Gray. And what I like about this guy, I was looking at him because I was looking at your picks and I was like, I bet that's what Andy's probably going to do. So he is a downhill player who's physical enough to take on blockers. He would complement Quay Walker. His speed isn't top end, but Gray can sniff out plays and has the vision to cut through blockers, hello, which we need, and get upfield. So this Gray was highly productive in North Carolina and could find success in the NFL with the right scheme. So he is a real potential target that the Packers could take because we need a linebacker because Devondre Campbell is gone. We lost some other guys. We need someone at that position. Third is, that's pretty high unless they really love this kid. So I'm going to say that's a possibility. But I think this guy is going to be taken, and he is a running back out of USC, and he actually was at South Carolina. And his name is Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. He used to be at South Carolina, and then he went to USC. And he, this is crazy. So just like that other guy, Jonathan Brooks, where you can't tackle him, same with this guy. He does have some injuries, similar to Jonathan Brooks, but not as much. He could be ready to go. He averages nearly 4 yards after contact per attempt.
Four?
Think about that.
Four yak.
Four. Four yak. Wow. Average. That's average. And this number, I don't know why they did it this way, but he has impressive, very impressive missed tackles force per attempt of 0.41. In other words, he's hard to tackle. He's hard to bring down. He averages 4 yards after contact. I looked up his stats just to kind of see, like, can he catch? So in 2023, this is was his stat. He played 11 games. He had 115 attempts, which with USC, you're not going to get a lot of attempts. You had Caleb Williams there. So he had 816 yards. His yard per average was 7.1. He had 9 touchdowns, but he had 13 receptions off of 18 targets with a little over 200 receiving yards. So again, he was not targeted that much, but 7.1 yards per attempt. Damn. Like, holy crap. And if you look across the board here, when he was at South Carolina the year before, he had 5 yards per attempt. So every time he got the ball, he was either getting 5 or 7 yards. I mean, that's nice, right? Put Jordan Love in a 2nd and 5 or a 2nd and 3 consistently, you're going to win a lot of games. So I really like this kid. I would like him better than Jonathan Brooks, but I totally understand that.
So there's there's not a lot of miles on them tires then. Still some tread on those tires.
No. So here's the other one I'm going to throw at you. This is the other player I saw. I'm like, interesting. This is Cam Hart. He's a cornerback out of Notre Dame, but we could switch him to safety. what he does, he is really good at press coverage. And remember, I talked about these guys last week, which I think you're going to bring up, like, was it Melton or whatever from Rutgers? I think you're bringing it up in the fourth round. But he's really, really good at press coverage. He played at Notre Dame. So, you know, okay. He's extremely physical. He does not care about how big you are. You're coming down. He's going to tackle you. And he's got great vision on defense. So, you know, that's what I think, again, what the Packers like from corner or a safety. He's, like I said, he's corner. He played corner, but he could possibly play safety. So let's go into my picks. Those are the three guys, a little bit different from you, Andy, okay. But with the 88th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select, and I have to say this, Cooper Beebe from Kansas State. You can't pass up a guy like him. If he is there, you can't do it. You got to take this kid. So that would be my first pick in there. And then my next one, and I kind of thought about this, and I really thought about it, and I said, yeah, linebacker would be nice. Corner would be nice. Safety would be nice. But I don't know. I'm going to go with the Packers select with the next pick in the 91st pick in the 2024 NFL draft. The Green Bay Packers select, I got to go with them, Marshawn Lloyd, running back, USC.
Okay.
I just think this is a kid that's going to go off the board, if not before that, right after that, because he doesn't have a lot of mileage. He can catch. He has the yak. He has, you know, everything you're looking for. And I think LaFleur is going to be like, hey, man, we drafted defense. Can I have a little offense here? And I think he's going to get his way in the third round. I think he's going to be able to get his offensive guys, BB and Marshawn Lloyd. So those are my picks in the third.
Sounds good. So, yeah. So basically, you took offensive linemen high in the first round, and then you took a couple defensive backs in the second round, which we need. And then you went back to offensive line because it's a deep offensive line draft, interior lineman this time, not a tackle in the third round, then a running back. Yep. So, a lot of areas of need, right? So, and that makes a lot of sense, John, in the whole body of work. It seems like you've done a really good job so far. That's what I kind of looked back at some of my picks too, and I tried to figure out what they might do or not do. So I'm kind of in the same. Good job.
With that said, I'm now wavering on my first pick.
Okay.
And that was the offensive tackle out of Penn State.
I don't think they're gonna take him.
I think he'll be gone by then. So let's get to the fourth round. And you got a couple of my guys I took in the second
round. It wasn't Melton. It was Bishop, safety Cole Bishop. Now, he's been going to the Packers in a lot of different rounds, just kind of like BB has. So you've seen him like in the second all the way out to the fourth. Yeah. So, but there's a method to my madness to just – hear me out. So I'm going to go through
some
of the players in round four. Not too many. We only have one pick, which is, I think, what is it? Pick 120. Sorry. 126. Yes.
Fourth pick, 113. But we do have another. No, we have 113 and 135 in the fourth. According to this.
No, I think it's 126, but because we have 11 picks.
Yeah, 126. Yeah,
we only have one.
I'm sorry. 126. Yep. You are right. 126. Yep.
So anyway, some of the guys that I think might be there again will be safety Cole Bishop out of Utah. So there is a lot to like with team captain Cole Bishop. He is only 21 years old. He ran a 4.45 second 40-yard dash. His RAS score, which is basically his athleticism score, was 9.88 out of 10. Most importantly, he is a versatile player who can play deep safety in the slot or in the box. And again, John talked about him in a previous episode. So go back and listen to John's take. Also, he recorded 219 career snaps on special teams. So John had him going to the Packers with pick, I think it was 41.
Yes.
And in the second round. So no offense to John. I like the pick. I do. But I think that was a little bit of a reach. So I've seen him going as late as the fourth round. So I don't think they're going to take him in the second. If he falls to them, maybe in the third or fourth. So, but next guy. So sure. John and I have not picked the linebacker yet. And that's a serious need. So actually, a lot of the experts out there had them starting to take linebackers a little bit later in the draft. So next week on Monday, when we talk to everybody, go through rounds 5, 6, and 7, you might hear some more linebackers taken by us because that's what they think we're going to do in the later rounds. So, but anyway, in the fourth round, a possibility is Trevin Wallace. Trevin Wallace is a linebacker out of Kentucky. After releasing Devondre Campbell and not signing any free agent at the position, the Packers have an obvious need at off-ball linebacker. And so Trevin Wallace can fill that need, right, John? Analyzing what they usually look for at the linebacker position in the draft, there's an obvious trend to get elite athletes. Oren Burks was one of them, didn't pan out too well. And Quay Walker, who's fared a little bit better. Those two are just both examples of this. So is Trevin Wallace. He has a 9.54 relative athletic score, RAS score. Beyond the athleticism, Trevin is seen as a toolsy player. So he's got a lot of tools. According to NFL Network's draft analyst, Lance Zierlein, the linebacker has good chase down gallop to the sideline, plus is a good tackler, and has lateral agility to expand his short area tackle success, end quote. So basically, he's a tackling machine, John. However, Wallace lacks play recognition and patience, a lot like Quay Walker, which makes him a prime target for misdirection plays. He is ranked 6 spots below linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, who is considered the best prospect and a potential second-round pick of the Packers. I've seen Edgerrin Cooper come up quite a bit too, John. We didn't talk a whole lot about him. But anyway, so he's ranked, Trevin Wallace is ranked 7th, and Edgerrin Cooper's ranked number 1. But again, you aren't going to get Edgerrin Cooper in the fourth round. So that's why we're talking about Trevin Wallace right now.
No, you're not.
It's not a great draft for linebackers, by the way. We talked about that a little bit last podcast. So the last player I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of a guy that, you know, we might take on potential and a flyer on him, is defensive tackle Leonard Taylor III. And he's out of the University of Miami, Florida. He is a blue chip talent. 247 Sports ranked him the number 4 overall recruit in the 2021 high school class. However, Taylor had a poor year statistically last year with career lows in tackles. He only had 19 tackles for loss, 3.5, and sacks. He only had 1 last year. He is the epitome of unrealized potential. So that's Leonard Taylor, but they had him potentially going to the Packers in the fourth round. So who am I selecting in the fourth round? Well, John already did it in the second round. I'm going to do it in the fourth round, possibly the third round. So the Packers move up actually, because they aren't going to get him at 126. they're going to have to move up to the bottom of the third round or the top of the fourth round. So they're going to give up some of the picks that they already have accumulated toward the bottom of the draft, or they'll give up picks for next year's draft. And they're going to select Cole Bishop out of Utah. So they select a safety. Now, I know I already have them selecting a safety in the second round, but another safety can't hurt. they need some depth at that position anyway. Plus, Cole Bishop can play nickel cornerback. So he can play nickel cornerback. He can, you know, he can do some of the things that we need him to do up at the line of scrimmages too. So he's a good fit for the Packers, a really excellent fit, John.
Yeah.
And so you were spot on with that. I just think there's a possibility we can get him a little bit later, and they're going to move up to get him. So you're looking at the bottom of the third round, maybe the top of the fourth round. Because as it is right now, we're toward the bottom of the fourth round because that's our pick, right, at 26.
Yeah.
He was recruited, again, by new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley and Boston College. So Cole Bishop was recruited by them. He just decided to go to Utah, right? Many pundits out there view him as an enforcer. An enforcer is the word that they used. Willing to play physical, blitz from the secondary, and play up at the line of scrimmage in a robber role, as they call it. Kind of like what Charles Woodson did for us, correct?
Okay. Correct.
Blitzes may be a more common sight for the Packers fans next season in Jeff Hafley's more aggressive defensive schemes. Cole Bishop is the perfect fit and pick for Goody. He's aggressive, versatile, and athletic. So he checks a lot of boxes, John. So I've got Cole Bishop going a little bit later than you did, and I have him going either in the late third round or the early fourth round for the Packers. The Packers don't need 11 selections. I don't care what anybody says. They aren't going to all make the team.
Yeah.
So I say trade up. No, they're not. I say trade up.
Trade up.
Grab the guy that you want.
Totally agree.
That's what I'm saying. So, John, who do you have in the fourth round?
Yeah, so more curveballs for you, my friend. I love your pick.
Okay.
We got to get – I don't care if we get him in the second, the fourth, the third, whatever we do, we got to figure out a way to get this Cole Bishop. I think he could be a game changer.
Yep, and so, I think you're gonna pick a linebacker.
Here,
right, John?
Well
– I'm just guessing.
I'll get to that. So – one guy I saw that I was thinking, you know what? Defensive line, if we're going to build that offensive line, we haven't done defensive line really, right?
That's true.
No defensive lineman yet. We have selected. Yep. Okay, we might select this guy. Makai Wingo out of defensive lineman out of LSU. So he is strong and agile at the point of attack. Which he showed at LSU, he can get into the backfield. So he can get rid of if he's over the guard, if he's over the center, and he can get in there and shoot the gap and really make a play. The problem with this guy is, and this is why I thought he might drop to the fourth, is he's not that big. Okay, he's a little bit small for a defensive lineman. However, and I love, you knew this was coming, Andy, he has a high motor. How many times we hear that? High motor.
I like that.
That's a stupid, anyway. But he would be a good rotational player. So you could put him next to Kenny Clark. You could put him next to Devontae White. You could put him next to Carl Brooks. You could put him in there and he could, you know, you could bring him in on, you know, like a first down at five or what, you know, some weird thing like that where you know they're going to run or at least the opportunity to run. And he could get in the backfield. The problem would be is you would have to have a swarm because these NFL running backs are going to – he'll hit them, but they'll probably bounce off them. At least he'll stop them and have someone hopefully clean up. So it's an interesting pick, maybe a long shot, but I just thought it was really – when I was watching some of his tape and everything, I was like, interesting, very interesting with him. Now this one – This one, you're going to go, what? Wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. Malichi Corley. And the reason I brought him up, he is 5'11", 210. And you're saying to yourself, first of all, I don't know who he is, right, Andy? You're like, who is this guy to Western Kentucky?
Yeah.
But this is the pick. This is the pick that the Packers always make, right? Where you go, what? Like on the second day, they always make a pick and they go like, Justin Jones, wide receiver out of Dartmouth or something. You're like, what? And then, you know, well, maybe he can play. But he, like I said, he's 5'11", 210. Well, the great thing about him, he is really great. He's a dynamic playmaker. He uses vision, his body control. He is really good with, if somebody hits him, he can stay balanced. He eats up yards after the catch. So he's, I'm trying to think who he'd be like. Probably like a Devontae Wyatt, something like that. I think he's from Virginia or something. Well, he just kind of, you know, like we never thought anything of this guy, but yet he would find open and he would find some yards. But he does struggle through press coverage and contested targets. So that would be the only thing I think the Packers would have a trouble with, because guess what? That's what you're going to be playing with in the NFL. He's got to fight through contact. And he's got to get through the press coverage. But this is just a weird thing that I just saw and I went like, yeah, I can see that. I could see them doing it in the fourth round. So the last one I already talked about is Cedric Gray. If he falls down to us, you would be nuts not to grab him. So really, I kind of thought about either one, they're going to do some weird pick and get this Malichi Corley out of Western Kentucky. I'm like, yeah, I kind of was leaning towards that. Then I was like, well, they need a defensive lineman because they haven't got a defensive lineman yet, and you really need one. But is this kid out of LSU going to – I don't know. And I just think Cedric Gray is gonna fall to us. And I don't know why, but so what I'm saying for the 2024 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select Cedric Gray, linebacker out of North Carolina. So I think we eventually get him. Like I said, he was a possibility in the third round, but I think they wait and he slips down to the fourth. Linebacking class is not so great, and I think we get him. So we go back to defense again, much to LaFleur's chagrin, and we'll see in the fifth and sixth and seventh if we use any of those picks, if we have any of them left, to go out and get some more offense. See if we can go from there. So there you go. That's told my you. Pick.
Told you were going to pick a linebacker. Yep. I like the guy from LSU that you're talking about. They tend to pick even interior linemen that are fast. And so, yeah. And you talked about a high motor.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in our next section, which have to do with the Packers draft megatrends. So some of the things that they tend to do when they draft. So yeah, but I like your picks, John. So teams have been analyzing other teams for well over a decade to see how other teams tend to draft certain positions. Let's just say that it helps them to predict what NFL teams might do on draft day. Those trends allow teams to determine whether or not they need to stay put, move up, or move down to get the players that they desire. And now, with the introduction of AI, artificial intelligence, to the drafting equation, who knows what data analytics are going on nowadays, right, John? So, John, and I are going to talk a little bit about some of those megatrends, some of the things that the Packers have done over the last decade. So we'll alternate. You've got megatrend number one.
Megatrend number one. Unsurprisingly, the Packers like big receivers. Height-wise, the average Packer receiver is 6'1", so a little over 6 feet. Only the Tennessee Titans and Atlanta Falcons draft taller wide.
Right, so we're ranked third in that, John. And our average height wide receiver that we draft is 6'1.1. So a little bit over 6'1. So
yeah,
we like big wide receivers. What can we say? Another megatrend, our second megatrend, is the Packers like big running backs as well. Listen to this, John. The team's average running back drafted has been 224.5 pounds. That's the average one.
Whoa!
Which is the heaviest of any team in the league. So that's megatrend number two.
Cheese curd.
So, yeah, we're number one in that area, drafting big guys for running backs.
Cheese curds of plenty. Megatrend number three. The Packers tend to draft offensive linemen who have a tackle background, even if they plan to move them to another position eventually.
Yes, and that's the truth. they like them to have a little bit of variety in them, right? That they can play a lot of different positions, a lot of flexibility with that, right? But they tend to draft a tackle who can play other positions. So, megatrend number four, athleticism is coveted by the Packers for their defensive line. For interior defensive linemen, the Packers rank third among NFL teams with their average 40-yard dash time of 4.94 seconds and second in the 10-yard split, which is 1.7 seconds. So basically they like quick guys, John. That's kind of what you said with that one guy from LSU, right? Can get off the ball very quick. And very fast. The only team that bested them in both categories is the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles tend to draft guys that are even faster. Similar is true for the Packers' edge rushers. Green Bay ranks fourth in the 40-yard dash at 4.64 seconds and second in the 10-yard split at 1.61 seconds there. So again, they like fast defensive linemen, John. That's basically where we're at. So that's megatrend number four, everybody.
Megatrend number five. Quickness seems to be what the Packers look for at cornerback. The cornerbacks, the Packers rank in the top three among NFL teams when it comes to quickness in the three cone and short shuttle drills. Also, the Packers generally avoid drafting smaller cornerbacks, with Jaire Alexander, 5'10", being the floor. Interesting. So they want tall corners who can, like, shift and, you know, get back on the ball really quickly. Yep. I like that.
So they tend to go for the quick ones. The fast ones, right? This one I thought was really, really interesting about some of the safeties they drafted. So this is megatrend number six. The average 40-yard dash time of a safety drafted by Green Bay ran a 4.47 second 40-yard dash, which is actually pretty fast for a safety, which is just 0.01 seconds behind the NFL lead. So there were a few teams, maybe one or two or whatever it was, that draft faster safeties than we do. But we're pretty darn close to that. So we like fast safeties, I guess. Moreover, the team likes players with above average heights and weights. According to acmepackingcompany.com, good luck finding those types of bodies in the 2024 draft class, end quote. So good luck finding those players in this draft, John. It sounds like there's smaller safeties in this draft and then slower safeties. So a lot of the guys, there's a guy from Minnesota, I believe, that they had us possibly drafting, but he ran a really slow 40-yard dash. And so that pretty much eliminates him from contention, right? So I think his name was Newbin or something, but whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, they like fast safeties and bigger safeties as well. So, and here's kind of overall thing from John right now. So,
overall, it shouldn't be surprising that the Green Bay Packers typically like big athletic players. The franchise tends to lean into height, weight, speed mentality on draft day. Thank you to Justin
Mosqueda.
Mosqueda of Acme Packing Company for all these Packer drafting
Megatrend.
All right, Andy, let's wrap this bad boy up.
So it's kind of interesting, John, right? They like the guys that are taller, weigh a little bit more, and also are faster. So the Packers will be headed to South America to play football week one. It's special. It's happening on a Friday. It's happening in Brazil. I guess this is where the NFL is trending. Eventually adding international teams, adding more international games to make pro football a more world sport. J.J. Watt really wanted to play for the Packers. Really? To be brutally honest, that never was going to happen. The Houston Texans paid him at the top of the market. The Packers were never going to do that. He could have been the final piece, like the Favre-White, you know, Reggie White combo that helped the Packers win a Super Bowl. Only that would have been a Rodgers-Watt combo, right? Unfortunately, time travel is not possible. What could have been?
What?
You know, if we were going to get him, John, we would have got him when he was winning those defensive players of the year. But then you couldn't afford to get him then, right? So you would have been better off drafting him from the get-go when he played at the University of Wisconsin, and the Packers should have tried to get him then, right?
Yeah, but that would have been a leap.
Right. Yep. That would have been. So just lost my spot, but I'm getting back down there. Okay. So speaking of what could have been, Cooper DeJean, that cornerback that I've been talking about in the first round, put on a clinic at the Mustard. Put on a clinic at his Iowa Pro Day. His results put him just outside of the top 1% of all cornerbacks drafted since 1987 in athleticism testing. Now his stellar performance has all but assured that he will not be there when the Packers pick at 25. John, there's still drafts out there that I keep seeing on my phone that have the Packers picking him. But now that he did this, I don't think that's going to happen.
He's going to fall.
He's going to get drafted higher than that. So like I said in Packer Splits episode 68, because we're on episode 69 tonight, the Packers will have to move above pick 15 to get them. Because Indianapolis at 15, they have them taking a cornerback, and he might be the guy that they're trying to get. So, but again, the price will be too steep for the Packers. And so he may be the number one cornerback taken because he's clearly a great playmaker as both a cornerback and a kick returner. So, he's just a great athlete, great player, and unfortunately, the price is probably going to be too steep. I'm kind of starting to change my mind. We'll probably get to this next week about who we may pick in the first round. It probably won't be Cooper DeJean Mustard when we pick at 25. Again, we're going to have to move up to get him. I don't know if they're going to want to do that.
Yeah, 10 spots.
That's where you're like trying to draft a quarterback that's fallen, right? And that's at a premium, and they're going to make you pay for it, right?
It's not going to happen.
Yep.
Nope. Okay, well, that's depressing, but that's okay. So, Andy, next week is the NFL draft, and guess what, folks? We're going to do another live NFL draft on the 25th. And so you can see our smiling faces and watch Andy and I go, what? And a lot of hand gestures from me.
Yeah. John, I was just talking to Dan Freitag, who I play golf with or had played golf with in my golf league. And he said he watched us on YouTube. Nice. So I was like, thank you for that. I'm glad somebody did. That's the first person I've encountered that watched us. So that's pretty awesome.
Well, tell them you can watch us again. Tell me you watch this again, because you can watch this again. Andy and I had a blast last time because we were pretty much, oh, it's this, it's that. This draft, I don't think it's going to be as crazy. I think it will wrap up fairly quickly and fairly easy. However, there are always someone's going to reach, right, Andy? Someone's going to take somebody that you go,
what?
What?
That's usually New England, happened. John, the New England Patriots.
It's usually New England.
Did they pick like a guard that was supposed to get picked in the third round and they picked him in the first round a few years back?
I can see New England moving up with the Vikings trying to get that Drake May from North Carolina. Yeah, yeah. It's trying to get him because I think everyone is like, I don't know about these other guys, but he seems to be the surest thing.
They said they had New England taking him at three.
We'll see.
But
then the Vikings, I think, are
It's Los Angeles Chargers are at five. They expected them to possibly trade out of that pick, and then Minnesota goes up to five to get
Minnesota McCarthy. Goes up. Gotcha. So anyway, you can see us. You know, again, Andy and I do this for fun. So just tell your friends and everybody. I will put the things on social media and the links and everything as you know when we're going to be on. We will just be on for the first day of the draft. The second day of the draft, you know, if I have some time, I might go on some social media. But do not be worried that we won't come back on that Monday and talk about our picks and whether we did good or not. And this is, again, another draft that, you know, good old Goody. Boy, if he nails this one, we could be going to a Super Bowl sooner than you think, folks.
Yep.
But this is a weird draft. You know, like Andy said, it's deep in offensive linemen, not great in linebackers, okay in some other areas. So, you know, you just got to look for that diamond in the rough and find that player is going to come in and make a really, you know, good improvement day one. And that's harder than you think.
And so, speaking of diamonds in the rough, again,
go ahead.
Episode 70 we're going to do on this coming Monday. And then we'll also be doing the draft on Thursday. Thank you. We've got actually two coming up. You'll see our old lovely faces on Thursday, but on Monday we're going to do rounds 5, 6, and 7. So listen in for that.
We'll do 5, 6. We'll wrap up the draft. Yes. On Monday. Thank you, buddy. And then Thursday, we're there for the first day of the draft. And then that following Monday, we will do a recap of the draft. Hopefully it's a great draft and we can get people who can come in and really help us go. So again, hit like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Please do that. Social media, reach out to us. I know a lot of the groups on Facebook are reaching out to me and asking me about the draft, and we're kind of going back and forth. It's kind of fun to do that with everyone. Everybody has different picks. Nobody has the same picks. It's I love that. It's really fun. And again, we're really excited about doing this. We're very geeky when it comes to this because we love our Packers and we want to see them draft well. So that's it, Andy, unless you want to add something else.
No, go Pack, go.
All right, go Pack, go. Love you, buddy. See you later.